Haramai, good morning. This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. Our programme today is our interfaith edition, when I'll be in conversation with two local members of the Baha'i faith, and we have a prayer written specially for the programme by a member of the First Church of Christ Scientist in Douglas. But let's start with a hymn. In the Christian tradition, today is the last day of the church's year. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, the start of a new church year and the start of 4 weeks of preparation for the great celebration of Christmas. But today we celebrate the feast of Christ, the universal King, who calls us to a kingdom that's truly out of this world, our ultimate home with him in heaven. Let's celebrate in song with Huddersfield Choral Society and O Worship the King, All Glorious Above. Great hymn of praise from the Huddersfield Choral Society, O Worship the King, All Glorious Above. Today's programme has an interfaith focus and gives us the chance to find out more about the Baha'i faith, which is now the second most widespread religion in the world and a non-governmental representative at the United Nations. Unity, peace and love are at the core of the Baha'i faith, as we'll learn when I'm in conversation with two local Baha'is, Dr. Tim Anglin and David Jockin.
One love,
hear the children.
believe.
One love.
This week, and at your service, we are celebrating Interfaith Week, and I'm delighted to welcome to the programme Dr. Tim Anglin and David Jockin. And we're going to be talking about the Baha'i Faith. If I could begin, Dr. Tim Anglin, just remind us, if you would, please, Tim, what sets it apart from other faiths?
Thank you, Judith. We are, in essence, all faiths. So we represent every single faith at its time and at its place. And what's unique about the Baha'i Faith is we try to integrate all of the faiths into one common religion. And in that sense, we represent peace, love, and unity. Some very profound thoughts and statements come from the founders of the faith. One of them is that we don't have war, but we have justice. We go even so far as to say that if a religion doesn't represent love and unity, and doesn't espouse love and unity in its deeds, then it would be better that there was no religion.
David Jockin, let me come and turn to you. Welcome, David. We were chatting and you said, I am no less a Christian. You said that you had been born again into Christian faith, but after a couple of years of study, you find that there is a relevant modern-day home for you in the Baha'i Faith. Can you just tell me a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, I've experienced what many Christians do, a message of salvation, forgiveness, letting go from past and open up to enlightenment in my life to cope with trials that I've been through in my life. But of late, I became aware of a message of unity, peace, through being introduced to the Baha'i faith by a Baha'i locally, who asked me, what do I believe in? I said, well, I'm an omniist. I feel like, although I have Christian at the core of my own individual faith, I have benefited from relationships with many Islamic people through work, serving in the military, and also through lately working in Chinese, a lot of Buddhist people. And I find there's a common denominator between all faiths. The Baha'i faith accommodates that.
If I can build on Dave's thoughts, our belief in the unity of all religions is reflected in our role as a representative of the United Nations. So we're a non-governmental representative with offices in New York and other places, where since the inception of the United Nations, we've tried to influence this unity and peace with justice working through the United Nations. We were actually involved in the inception and the setting up of the United Nations. A lot of the thoughts that the United Nations were built on were Baha'i and are Baha'i. These days, the BIC, our arm at the United Nations, is more involved in the sad events and representing the faith from the Iranian perspective and the persecution of the faith. However, that doesn't take away our work of trying to generate a unification within the United Nations.
This year is a very significant one. It's a 100th anniversary. Dave, could you tell us a little bit more about that, please?
Yes, that's correct, Judith. This year we're commemorating the centenary of the ascension of Abdul Baha. There'll be a film to commemorate his life and works. It's called The Exemplar, released yesterday on YouTube, so see it for yourselves. Just to briefly tell you about Abdul Baha and his life, he spent many years in Palestine in a jail in Acre, where he was sent to for his beliefs, with his father, who is at the core of the Baha'i message, Baha'u'llah. Upon being released, he went on to spread his message around the world after his father passed away. It's called The Exemplar because he was a very loving and kind man and a great example of what his message, the message from his faith, what we spoke about, unity, peace, justice. He was a good example, and the film I'm looking forward to will show more about that.
The first question that crosses my mind is, why did a man who led an exemplary life, and his father also, why did they spend so much time in prison? What was it that upset people about them?
The Baha'i faith comes out of Shia Islam, and the message of Baha'u'llah for example, abrogating holy war and, for example, developing a new set of laws, was very much against the traditions of Islam. And so for that reason, both Baha'u'llah, Abdu'l-Bahá, and many others since have been jailed and martyred for the faith. So that explains why they were in jail for maybe more than 40 or 50 years of their life.
Do you think, Tim, that that just strengthens the power of their message, the fact that they were prepared to hold on to their beliefs and to suffer in that way for effectively the whole of their life?
Yes, and I think, if I might sort of bring in our Christian roots, I think this concept of suffering is also exemplified perfectly by Jesus on the cross. We often talk about the suffering of Baha'u'llah. His suffering wasn't on a cross, but his suffering was through prison and being jailed and being exiled. But yes, I think all of the great spiritual leaders of humanity have unfortunately suffered.
I think it's significant that you began this conversation, both of you, by saying that it's looking for the things that unite that's more productive than looking for the things that separate. And there are a lot of things that unite us.
Yes, there are. And if I could just read a quotation from Abdu'l-Bahá. If you desire with all your heart friendship with every race on earth, your thought, spiritual and positive, will spread. It will become the desire of others, growing stronger and stronger until it reaches the minds of all men. Abdu'l-Bahá wrote many quotations along this length and lived to that example. But looking for things that unite us, it's everything I found in this particular faith is about understanding, accepting each other's point of view, that they have a message from God, whether it be from Islam, Christianity or Judaism, that is meant to connect for us for our own well-being on this planet so we can live together in unity, peace and harmony.
In the Baha'i faith, is there any sense of an afterlife in terms of resurrection after death in Christianity?
So Judith, yeah, unfortunately, my mother, for example, has passed on recently. And although she wasn't a Baha'i, this did focus my thoughts on the afterlife. And for me and my family, the Baha'i faith provides a message of progress through the worlds of God. So the idea is that my mother, when she passed on into her next world of God, where hopefully she'll continue to progress towards a nearness to God. So the ultimate sort of aim of heaven or the afterlife for the Baha'is is nearness to God. But we do see progress through the worlds of God. And clearly those worlds of God could include heaven. But we don't really use the word heaven as such. We use the word progress through the worlds of God.
How much use do you make of the Bible, David?
It's becoming Baha'i. I'm more drawn to Psalms because a lot of the literature is very similar from Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá. And Psalms, for me, it's a reading and meditational process, which it actually states at the beginning of the Psalms, which I find gives me a lot more spiritual healing and more closer to my higher nature, if you like.
Do you think that your faith makes you a better person? Better able to cope with life, better able to relate to other people. Do you see real positives in it?
Yeah, we tend to sort of like reach out for the pearls from the ocean. Baha'u'llah had a very close connection with nature. So he'd use these metaphors to sort of like remind us that we're souls reflecting light from our celestial glory, which is heaven or God. When these pearls are actually our virtues, such as patience, tolerance, forgiveness, everything, essentially the cause of Christianity, it helps me get on better with my life, the challenges I face, and it helps people cope with me a lot better as well. So it's definitely helpful in that respect, yeah.
What was it in the first place, Tim, if I could come back to you? What is it that attracted you to the Baha'i faith?
For me, it was unity. The fact that all the religions have a contribution and a part to play. And even before I became a Baha'i, in my mind, I was aware of the progressive revelation in the sense that I believed in Moses at his time, in Jesus at his time, and I was coming to grips with Islam at their time. However, when I met a Baha'i, I realized the concept of progressive revelation helps to explain the differences in time and place. And that the message for today from the Baha'i faith is one of unity of all religions.
So having listened to you both, there's no doubt about it, this film event at the Eye Museum on the 28th, in a week's time, I think is going to be a very special time, both for Baha'is on the island and anybody who is interested in exploring our vision of world faiths. So just remind us again, the film is next Sunday, 28th.
1:30, that's at the Eye Museum, Kingswood Grove, at the entrances next to the Kingswood Honda Garage. All welcome, and it's free admission. And it will involve a brief introduction about Abdu'l-Bahá and who he was, a short film with some prayer and questions, and some light refreshments.
Now, because this is our interfaith programme, I'm delighted that we have a contribution from a lady who's well known on this island, Deborah Taubman, who is a member of the First Church of Christ Scientist. They meet in Hillary Road here in Douglas. And Tim, I believe that you have a very special prayer that Deborah has written. Tell us a little bit about that, please, Tim.
Deborah has allowed me to say her prayer. The interfaith group are aware that Her Majesty the Queen has been having illness, and so we thought it was appropriate to say a prayer for her. And Deborah Taubman has written this prayer in her own right, but also a member of the First Church of Christ Scientist Douglas, and I'm reading it on her behalf. Dear beloved Queen Elizabeth II, you have poured out so much love and wisdom for our country. We have all benefited. These qualities which you express so supremely come direct from our Father, Mother, God, and they protect you. I pray that you will feel this protection and comfort more and more. I pray you will continue to feel the arms of our Heavenly Parent wrapped around you.
Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, a hymn known to be a favourite of Her Majesty the Queen, Lord of Man, to accompany the prayer written by Deborah Taubman of the First Church of Christ Scientist. And Deborah's church, which is on the corner of Woodbourne Road and Hillary Road here in Douglas, invite you to their Thanksgiving service being held this Wednesday the 24th at 6:30. Norman Locke will be the soloist, and all are welcome to come and share in this joyous occasion. And my thanks to Dr. Tim Anglin, David Jockin and Deborah Taubman for joining me for our Interfaith edition of the programme. Now, if you're about to tackle the Christmas shopping and are looking for cards with a Christian message and some gifts that are reasonably priced with a little bit of a difference, then I strongly recommend a visit to Church's bookshop in their new home in St. Thomas's Church in Finch Road here in Douglas. I popped in the other day to take a look around this cosy and inviting and wonderfully stocked shop and had a chat with manager Andrew Wedgwood Main. I guess that to have such a variety of stock on offer, they must have been planning and preparing for quite a while.
Oh, absolutely. It's always the highlight of our year, Christmas. It's been in the works since probably about Easter, getting the different orders in, working out what we're going to get. And so it's been lovely having everything arrive, put on display. And so far, people have been really enjoying the selection we've got this year.
Well, ahead of this conversation, I came in the shop, had a little browse around, and you've got probably the best selection of Christian Christmas cards that I've really ever seen in the shop. You've got some lovely Advent calendars as well. We're just in time for those. Some nativity sets and some lovely gift items.
Well, I think partly we loved being in our new space here at St. Thomas's Church, and it's inspired us a bit perhaps to get into the Christmas spirit more than ever. But also it's been a great year after a few years that have been really tough for everyone, for us to bring a bit of cheer in, get a nice variety of colourful and bright Christmas items. And we know that people have missed being able to shop in person at the shop. And so we wanted to give them a nice wide range of some new lines and some of the old favourites that they can enjoy.
Now, you've also worked very hard on your online presence, and I'd like to talk about that in a moment. But let's talk about your... It's not exactly a new home, but you've not been in here very long. So you moved from Howard Street, where you were part of the Promenade Methodist Church. Now you've moved and you're part of St. Thomas's Church. The little benefit here is that now there isn't a school, now that St. Thomas's school isn't open, there is a little bit of parking just alongside, literally outside the shop door, isn't there?
Absolutely. We've got a lot of good feedback over the accessibility of the new shop. We might be a little bit further towards the end of town, out towards the Gaiety and St. Thomas's, but there is a lane where, you know, for quick parking or for those with mobility issues. We're also just down the road from Chester Street car park, which is obviously got free parking, and that's only a few minutes walk from the shop.
And I had to smile when I came in this afternoon. The outer door was closed, but the notice said, "We've only got the door closed to keep the books warm." So nobody is to be put off by the door being closed. You've got a big open sign.
Absolutely. We're working on getting some more signage outside to help people find us even easier. We joke about the keeping the books warm. That is actually a concern in terms of keeping the quality of the books as new. Temperature fluctuations aren't ideal for paper products. But we do keep the door closed just to keep everyone warm. Do open it and you'll find a warm welcome inside. And hopefully you'll be able to find some just what you're looking for Christmas.
Well, I'm absolutely sure that people will. Now, you're part of St. Thomas's Church now. You're within their building. And St. Thomas's, it's a vibrant, busy church. You were saying to me that there's pretty much something going on every day. And, of course, they have their Friday lunches and coffee mornings, things like that. And so it's a good opportunity. If people are coming to support that, pop into the shop and have a little browse.
Yes, we get people passing the door all day going to different events. And they're always welcome to come have a look in. The door to the bookshop is open out of hours to use the toilet facilities, and so if you're passing through, even if just popping to the toilet and want to have a look around, you're more than welcome.
And this is where online shopping could be quite useful. And so tell us about your online presence.
Well, for the last year or so, we've been building up a presence online. We've recognised that, well, the pandemic has obviously made us realise that there are a lot of people who can't get out and about, whether that is through disability or wariness around COVID. I know many people are still concerned with COVID. And so we decided to invest some money in setting up an online shop. And that has massively expanded in the last month or so. If you go to our website, which is churchesbookshop.im, and click on the online shop under the menu, you'll find loads of different sections, Christmas and Advent, children's books and books on topical issues. And really what we've done is curated a selection. We think you can go to the big online shop that shall not be named and see every Christian book that's been published. But if you come to our website, you'll find the books that we really think will help speak into your life, help affirm people's faith. And you can know that anything that's on that website is something we really believe in.
Now, something that the Church's Bookshop has always been well known for is giving advice. And that never changes, does it, Andrew?
Oh, absolutely not. No, we're always here to answer questions, whether that's from someone who may not be a Christian, who wants to buy a gift for someone who is, someone who's not quite sure which version of the Bible is right for them, which happens to both old and new Christians. We're always proud of our volunteers and our staff who will always do their best to get the answer for you. And even if you're not able to come into the shop, you can always send us a message on Facebook, find our Facebook page, Church's Bookshop, or give us a ring. Our phone number is 621-593, and there's an answer phone, so you'll always get a call back if you leave a message.
And the opening hours for the shop, Andrew?
Yeah, we're open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 5. So that is an hour later than our traditional opening hours. We feel that the extra hour later the day seems to be more convenient for people, and hopefully being open 6 days a week will mean there's plenty of opportunities for people to pop in and come say hello.
Thank you, Andrew Wedgwood Main of Church's Bookshop. Open Monday to Saturday from 11 until 5 with easy short-time parking right outside the shop entrance, which is also the side door into St Thomas's Church in Finch Road here in Douglas. And now it's time for us to take a look at the rest of this week's notice board. And we start with services today. Bride Methodist Church celebrate Wesley Guild Sunday with a special service this evening at 6:30. Reverend Dr. Janet Corlett will preach, and there'll be musical items by Manx Voices and light refreshments in the hall after the service. The next service on the Mariners calendar is this evening in Trinity Church at Rosemount here in Douglas at the usual time of 6:30. Bishop's Missioner Nigel Cretney will preach, and there'll be a light supper and community hymn singing after the service. Looking now to the week ahead, on Friday the 26th, there'll be a quiz night in Castletown Methodist Church in the hall. Starting at 7:30, this'll be a fun night for all ages. There are prizes for the winners, a special children's round, and refreshments for all. Maximum of 8 people in a team, please, and it's £2 per person admission. Crosby Methodist Chapel Christmas Fair and afternoon tea is next Saturday the 27th, starting at 2 o'clock. Admission is £5 for adults, free admission for children. Next Sunday, the 28th, Andrea's Parish Church celebrates their bicentenary. The present building was consecrated in 1821, and that'll be celebrated next Sunday morning with a special service at 10:30, followed by a bring and share refreshments afterwards. If you or your family have ever had any connection with Kirkandrius, then do please come along and share in this very special anniversary celebration. And last but by no means least, Manx Festival Chorus have their Christmas concert next Sunday evening in St Matthew's Church on the North Quay here in Douglas, starting at 7 o'clock. The soloists are Jane Main and Graham Crow. The conductor is John Riley and the accompanist Marilyn Kizak. Admission, payable on the door, is £10 for adults and just £2 for children. And there'll be festive refreshments after the concert. And that's all that we have time for now, but I do hope that you can come back later and join me for Sundown. Easy listening music to round off your weekend. And do please email me if you've got some news for the notice board or you'd like to request a favourite hymn for a future programme. My email address is judithleigh@manxradio.com. So, till whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning. The Nation Station, Manx Radio.